All right. I want to welcome everybody here and those who are online watching us right now. And for those who are watching us in French-speaking countries, and we do have quite a good following from France, Strasbourg, France, from Mauritius, and many other little places there like this. I want to say something in French. Today is actually, well, this is not French, obviously. So today is Mother's Day in those countries. So à tous ceux qui nous regardent des pays francophones, je vous souhaite une joyeuse mère, fête des mères. There you go, Mother's Day, fête des mères. Okay, there we go. So now my mom will not be getting mad at me for not mentioning anything like that. So, ma bonne fête des mères. All right. Okay, so now if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Chapter 6. Can we get some house lights? Thank you. I know this is Memorial Weekend, and it gives us the opportunity to enjoy some good food, right? Some great fellowship with friends and family. But that's not the proper significance of Memorial Day, right? It's not just enjoy the long weekend type of thing. I want to show you a video that will display a little bit about the real meaning of Memorial Day.
Sometime back, I received in the name of our country the bodies of four Marines who had died while on active duty. I said then that there is a special sadness that accompanies the death of a serviceman, for we're never quite good enough to them. Not really, we can't be, because what they gave us is beyond our powers to repay. And so when a serviceman dies, it's a tear in the fabric, a break in the whole, and all we can do is remember. It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us.
Today, we choose to say thank you. Thank you. I want to take a little time right now to honor those who are currently serving or who have served in any branch of the military. Would you please stand? Anyone, family, stand as well. Remain standing. I also want to give honor to the police officers who are actually serving currently right now, who have retired. I know we got one right there. Would you please stand as well? Because I think it's the right time that we honor those who are serving our country, our nation, and certainly here our city. So we say thank you for what you've done, for the sacrifice you've made for not just you, but your family alongside you. You paid a price that we can never pay back. So we say thank you and we honor you today. Would you please sit? Thank you. Thank you. Memorial Day is a day that we set aside every year to say thank you, to remember and to honor those who have fought and given their lives for freedom and democracy. I want to show you a picture, and that's going to lead to my message as well. I believe this picture says it all. Here you got a picture of a wife, of a mom, who's made a decision to remember. She's remembering there the loss of a husband. And at the same time, as a mother, she wants her son to remember the sacrifice his dad has made. Memorial Day is a day to remember and to never forget. There are moments in our lives that God wants us to remember. You know those moments. They mean a lot to you, and they mean a lot to your family alongside you. Sometimes those moments, they could represent a permanent memorial in your life. Those memorials might be physical. What I mean by that, they can be physical, that they can be visible to others to see what you've done, the sacrifice that you've made. They are visible. But there are also memorials that you know that has happened in your life that are invisible. They are spiritual. They are memorials that you know that no one else knows about them except you and God. So I want you to remember this, because I'm going to circle and we're going to end on this later on, knowing that there are physical memorials that are seen by you and others, and there are also spiritual memorials that are there but unseen. Unseen by anybody else but you and God. God wants us to remember and to never forget those memorials. Why should we remember? Why should we make it a big deal? Let's look at this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. Beware lest you forget. Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. When you take an oath, you must use only his name. You must not worship any gods of neighboring nations. Why should we remember? Beware lest we forget. Why should we remember? Because we have a natural tendency to forget. We have a natural tendency to forget what God has done for us, especially when the danger has been averted. The danger is no longer present. The danger is over, or the breakthrough has already come. And we have a tendency to forget what God has done. Why should we remember? Because we live in a society that wants to cancel out God. Here you go, I said it. We live in a society that wants to cancel out God, to cancel out His authority, to cancel out His sovereignty. We live in a society that wants to cancel out any authority that is under God. Because there is no authority that is there present that was never appointed by God, that was never ordered, ordained by God. God is supreme. God is sovereign. So we honor the authority that God has placed above us and under Him. Do you want to know what happens when we cancel out God? When we cancel out His authority? When we cancel out His sovereignty? Let's read verse 15. It says, "For the Lord your God, for the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. His anger will flare up against you, and He will wipe you from the face of the earth." On that cheerful note, happy Memorial Day. The words "never forget" will always be an appropriate slogan for democracy, for our freedom to choose, for our freedom to believe, for our freedom to worship. That's why we never forget. That's why we always remember and place God at the highest authority in our personal life. Because that's the only place that our God deserves to occupy in our own life. When God is represented in our own life in such a supreme and highly esteemed position, then we can expect that to also be the same in other places. But if God is not present and supreme and king in our own life, I would say, how dare we expect others to follow suit? We sang that song, "Let It Start It In Me." New hope, new wine. Well, let it start in us today by honoring God. Let's remember what God has done in our own lives. Never forget. There are moments in our lives that where God shows up in such a miraculous way. And those moments are like stones. Stones that we use, we stack those stones up in order to build a memorial. A memorial that might be either physical, visible to everybody to see, and it might also be spiritual, invisible, but still recognized by you and God. But those memorials are so important because it allows you, or it puts you in a place where you have to honor God, His authority, and always remember that you made it where you are because of Him. The title of my message this morning is "Stacking Up Stones." Stacking up stones. How many of you have gone to the beach and done that? I need to see many more hands because I've seen so many pictures on Facebook. Come on now. I've seen you guys post pictures about this. But do you know this is exactly what you were doing? You were building a memorial. How many of you have gone to a place, a beach, and you came back home with a pocket full of sand? I want to remember this place. Why do you do this? Why do you pick up a rock from a beach where you go and hang out? Because you want to remember this place. You want to take that home and build something out of it. Gary Bonds knows what I'm talking about because he goes to the beach and he picks up a whole bunch of rocks. Is that allowed, right? Are we good saying that? Yeah, absolutely. This is our beach. So we'll pick up a lot of rocks and we'll take it home. The front of my yard there, we got rocks that have come in from many parts of Kodiak. So we build up stuff. We use those memorials, those stones in our lives on the journey that we've been on. And we bring those home or anywhere else. And we stack them up in such a way that it creates a memorial. Sometimes visible, sometimes invisible. Because those are not just stones as stones. They could be pages of your journal. It could be your life story. It could be your testimony. It could be a breakthrough that you've received in a health situation in your own life. That's a memorial. That's a significant thing that happened in your life that you want to remember, that you are here because of Him. That you were healed because of Him. You were delivered because of Him. You were set free because of Him. These are memorials in your life that you've had that you can talk about, that you can tell a story about. How many of you have found somebody out there in the parking lot, Safeway, Walmart, and you stop and you gave your story? You gave your testimony. You told somebody that this is what my God has done for me. That's a stone. That's a stone of a memorial that you want somebody to know what God has done in your life. I want to go to Joshua. Joshua in the Bible did something extraordinary in chapter 3 that speaks a lot about stacking up stones. Joshua chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 14 to 17. And before we read this passage, I want to give you a little bit of a backdrop of this. It is the story of the children of Israel who are getting ready to cross the Jordan River into this promised land. But there's a problem. There's a problem. Breakthrough is just on the other side, but there's a problem. The problem is flood. They can't cross over. The Jordan River is not a very wide or big river. But during flood season, it becomes a mile wide river. A mile wide of raging water. So the water is fast flowing. And they can see on this side of the shore, they can see the promised land. But they must cross over this mile-wide raging river to get to the other side. And it is impossible. So let's read this account in verse 14. It says, so the people left their camp to cross the Jordan. And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. And as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And as soon as those priests who were carrying the Ark, as soon as their feet touched that water, the water parted. I want to show you a picture. And I need you to get this picture. God right here, this is where they're coming. And the first town, the first place is called Gilgal. God drained a whole river all the way back to the Dead Sea. That place was called Gilgal. I did a little research on this because God caused that water to flow backwards. Backwards. It went all the way down until it was dry land. The distance between Gilgal and the top north is actually the Dead Sea. You have 43 miles. It's like God pulled the plug and drained out everything. It went all the way out into the Dead Sea. 43 miles of draining. So let's keep reading in verse 17. It says, meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. So the priests carried the ark of the covenant, the presence of God, all the way to the middle of the River Jordan, mile wide, remember, all the way up to the middle, and they stopped. They stopped because they want to allow all the people, we're talking about thousands upon thousands, if not millions of some people, to cross over into the promised land at the place called Gilgal. So as long as the presence of the Lord was there, right in the middle, what happened to the water? Stayed away. It never made it back to where they were at. So the water kept away from them right in the middle, all the way down to the Dead Sea. There was nothing magical about the priests. All their feet. It was the presence of God that they carried. The presence of God went before them. The presence of God made a way when there was no other way. Friends, as long as you carry the presence of God by your feet, as long as your feet carry the presence of God, God will always go before you. Every place that the soles of your feet would tread upon will be blessed. Because the presence of God has gone before you. Every obstacle that is before you will be removed. Why? Because your feet are the vehicle that carry the presence of God, that carry that good news. The word says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. So you've got beautiful feet. You've got beautiful feet. How beautiful are those feet who carry or preach the gospel of peace. So wherever you step in whatever arena that God has placed you in, recognize that you carry that good news wherever you go. So whatever obstacle that you face in your workplace or whatever sphere of influence that God has placed you in, when you step in, your presence of God has already gone before you. Whatever that needs to part in your life, in your situation, will be parted. God can drain out a whole entire swamp just for you. Just because you are here and you are present and you step into that place, the presence of God Almighty is already there. It's like a light that has turned on in the middle of darkness. So you carry that kind of authority. Because your authority is tied in to these authority. So the moment you go in, you're not going in your own account, in your own authority. You're going in His authority. You're an ambassador for Christ. You represent Him. So right there in the middle of the river, this mile-wide, raging river, stood the priest. Carrying the presence of God, which made a way where there was no way. Because naturally speaking, there is no river that runs or flows backwards. There is no draining of a whole entire river, miraculously speaking. Only God can do this. So it's the presence of God right there in that place called Gilgal, where God showed up in a miraculous way. But God was not done here. God was not just about getting the people across. God wanted them to do something else. He wanted that moment. Remember those moments that we talked about earlier? God wanted that moment to be eternally preserved. God wanted that moment in time when He did the supernatural. He wanted the children of Israel to always remember that. He wanted them to remember that moment physically, but He also wanted them to remember that moment spiritually. God wanted His children to never forget, to always remember His sovereignty, His power, His mercy, His grace. God asked Joshua to do something else. You know, even in the middle of a storm, when you are, Lord, help me get out of this. I want to get on the other side of this storm, Lord. But sometime right in the middle of the storm is God, where God can actually speak the clearer, the loudest sometime. Right there in the middle of it. So people just want to get on the other side and be done with it. But right there, God gave an instruction to Joshua, a mighty man of God. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when all the people are completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight." Gilgal, that other side where you're going to sleep tonight. Take those stones from the middle of the Jordan River and take them, carry them with you so that you will remember me. Carry those stones and the place where you're going to lay down tonight and rest, the place called Gilgal, I want you to do something else with it. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, "Cross over the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel." God instructed them to go back into the middle of the river to gather 12 stones. 12 stones. Now, I can understand why 12 stones. 12 tribes. 12 men. Go and pick up 12 stones. But why go back in the middle of the Jordan for those stones? I mean, they are right on the edge of the promised land. Don't you think there's rocks or stones right there where they were? I'm pretty sure there were. I'm pretty sure there were stones right there. I'm pretty sure the memorial could be made out of something else besides stones. But why go back in the middle of this place where they've been freed from? They just crossed over. Why go back in the middle of this place to pick up those 12 stones? Here's my take on it. God wanted them to always remember where they came from. God wanted them to remember where they came from. And God wanted them to remember what He did in the middle of it. God wanted them to remember. Because sometimes our greatest memorials are found in the middle of our greatest tragedies. I'm going to say this again because I think that needs to sink deep. Because sometimes we go through trials and storms and we want to quickly forget. But there are lessons that God wants us to remember in the middle of that storm. And He wants us to remember those lessons and let them be a memorial unto God, unto what God has done. Sometimes our greatest memorials are found in the middle of the greatest problem that we faced. In verse 6, it goes on and it says that this may be a sign among you. See, there was a reason. There was a reason why they had to go back. Because God wanted this to be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? Remember, these are the visible stones, right? These are the ones that you picked up from the beach here. On Boy Scouts beach. You've picked up those. That's not a whole lot on Boy Scouts beach. Somewhere else. I need to go out on the beach a little bit more to know where rocks are found. Somehow they made it back to my house. Somebody brought them there. But they came from somewhere. Fossil Beach. That's right. I've been there. God wanted them to remember so that when the children ask, what do they mean? You shall answer them and say that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the Lord. You should tell them that the presence of God was there, and because the presence of God was there, breakthrough came. That's why mom and dad are the way we are, or in the place we are right now, planted where God has called us to be planted, because God showed up in that place and did something miraculous. So that way we can go back and tell our kids, explain what those stones, what they mean. That was the reason. And the children of Israel needed to know this so that they can pass it on. They can pass it on to that next generation. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And then he goes on, he says, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. An eternal memorial that every time that the children would ask, what do they mean? You would be able to say, this is what God did. Stacking up stones here was a physical, a visible, a permanent reminder of how awesome your God is. Pretty amazing, right? Pretty amazing. That's the way our God works in our own life if we stop and we recognize His hand at work. Because a lot of time when we go through stuff and we get the breakthrough, guess what we have a tendency to do? Forget. We forget how good God is. We forget that the breakthrough came because of God. Beware lest you forget. Beware lest you forget. Why was that memorial so important to God? I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, that's not the only memorials that were out there. There were memorials being done even before that. But why was this so significant to God that God made a big deal that it was recorded in the book of Joshua? As you can see in the text there, some of the words are repeated twice. What's the big deal? It goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Beware lest we forget. God did not want this generation, this new generation, to forget Him. Because you see, the majority of those children who were crossing over the Jordan, the majority of them were not there when God performed the signs and wonders in Egypt. A big portion of them were not there. A big portion of them died in the wilderness. So this was a brand new generation that were coming in. And God wanted to do something new. God wanted to teach them something they've never been taught before. And that is faith. Because from that point on, no longer will God provide manna for them. It says this in Joshua 5:12. That was the cutoff point. No more after they cross over into Gilgal, into the promised land, would manna fall down from the sky. They would now have to rely on something we call faith. So in essence, God was grooming this new generation to trust Him more rather than rely on just food, shelter, to just come down on them. They have to actually, here's a big word there that we don't like to do, we don't like to use, we have to fight for it. We got to put the effort into it. You got to want it so bad that you're willing to fight for it. God was grooming them because what lied ahead of Gilgal was a town called Jericho. What happened in Jericho? One of the greatest battles. Guess what the children of Israel had to rely upon? Faith. Nothing else but faith. Can you imagine if God told them right at that point before they even crossed, before they even build the memorial, before even the river was parted, that, hey, you're going to face Jericho. And by the way, you're going to go head to head against them. I mean, they would have said, no way. No way. No way. We can't. God was grooming them to trust Him, to walk by faith and not by sight. Could that be that this is the way that God is grooming this next generation? Could it be that God is looking up to you and me to make sure that this next generation knows, remembers, and never forget God? Could that be resting on our shoulders today? Could that be resting on our shoulders as parents to make sure that our children, they know God? Because we are living in a place, in a culture that want to take God out of just about anything. So the responsibility falls on who? Us. Us. The church. The church plays such a vital and important part. So I'm going to use this as an excuse or as a proper platform to invite you to pour in into our next generation. And you can do it here at Oceans United. You can serve and help us teach and train this next generation. This is the right place. You say, oh, well, you know, I don't have the time. What if the children of Israel did the same thing? What's the point? We've crossed over. It's dry ground over there. Why should we go back and pick up those stones in the middle of a river? We just crossed this river. Let's just go and enjoy life in the promised land. We're right at the gates of the promised land. They probably are looking around and seeing an orchard of, I don't know, peach, watermelon, all kinds of stuff. So what are we doing picking up stones in the middle of a river where we can be enjoying life? So I want to challenge you. I'm getting way ahead of myself here. I want to challenge you to do something about this next generation. I want to challenge you to find the time to serve in kids' church. You play an important part. You play an important part. If you don't do it, who will? If you don't do it, who will? And then we can't turn back later on because we're very good at doing this. Because the word says, lest you forget, beware, because we will forget. I'm guaranteeing you, you will forget this message. You will 100% forget this message. But I'm hoping you won't. I'm hoping you will remember those words, because these are not my words. These are the words that the Lord has said. Beware lest you forget, because there's a big chance of you forgetting. This is the place where you can serve, where you can help us train this next generation. We cannot rely on the school system to do it for us, can we? Can we rely on our government to train our kids to recognize God? Probably not. So, whose responsibility is it? It's ours. It's our responsibility. Why are memorials so important in our lives today? Why are they still important? Why are they important to God? Number one is this, to remember Him. To remember Him. That is the reason, is to remember Him. God wants you to remember Him as the originator of your faith. It started with Him. The word in Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. He wants us to look up to Him, the one who starts our faith. He's the originator of the faith. He's the author of the faith. And He's also the finisher of our faith. I don't know about you, but I want to finish strong. I want to finish strong. And I can only finish strong if I look up to Him. Why are memorials so important? To teach your children about it. I've already covered that point. God expects you to pass your heritage of faith along to our children. That's the expectation. That's the expectation. That's the expectation, is to pass that on. That's our responsibility. The decision to choose God is not yours. But as long as you've done your part in the teaching, in the training, then you can leave it up to that next generation to choose. And you can hope that they will choose God. You can't force them to choose God. But you hope that you've trained them well enough so that when the time comes for them to make a decision in life, when they've left home, they're in college, or they're about to get married, they're making big life decisions, they can make a sound one. How many parents would hope that your children will be able to make some sound, godly decision? Absolutely. That's the dream of every parent. But what if we take away the training? What if we don't make church a priority in their lives? What if we forget? How would they know? How would they remember? What if we forget those memorials? What if those memorials were on a page of a journal somewhere, but we've never sat down with our children and opened up those journals and said, "Son, let me show you the journey. Let me tell you about what God did on that day. Let me tell you on how I found God." What if I don't? Can I blame the next generation? Can I blame my son for not knowing? I need to look in. Lord, what have I done? I was given an opportunity to serve, and I've walked away from it. I was given an opportunity to train, to teach, and I've walked away from it. Proverbs 22:6 says this: train up a child in the way he should go. Train up. That goes beyond sitting down and reading a story. If any of you have gone through basic training, did you read it? Did you go through it through a manual? Just read a book and figure it out? Have to do some stuff, right? You got to do some training. You got to do some running. You got to do a lot of physical work to get past your basic training. Same with knowing God. There's a basic training. Why not start now? Why wait until the children are facing a crucial life decision and wait upon God to intervene? It might be too late. It might be too late. I want to pour in into my kids, into the children of this church, as much as I can to ensure that Deuteronomy 6:12 doesn't happen, that I forget, and the next generation is left to the wayside where they're not trained to even recognize God. Why are memorials so important to God? Number 3 is to celebrate what God has done. to celebrate what God has done. In Isaiah 63:7 says, I will tell of the Lord's unfailing love. I will tell. How can you tell if your mouth is shut? How would they know if you keep your mouth shut? I will tell of the Lord's unfailing love. I'm going to find somebody where I can tell how good my God is. How loving and kind and gracious my God is. Because this world is looking for that kind of God. What if I keep my mouth shut and I keep it just to myself? And I don't do anything about it. I will praise the Lord for all he has done. I will rejoice in his great goodness. Sunday gathering. Sunday services. Every Sunday we are gathering here, worshiping him. When we are worshiping him, we are building a memorial unto him. We are not just going through a set of songs. We are worshiping him. I'm hoping that each and every Sunday when you guys are coming in, you are entering into his presence. You are using those words, those songs, that they are so meaningful to you, that the Holy Spirit is tugging and pulling and working on the inside of you. They're building up a stone. That you're using those stones in worship and you laying them down, and God behind the scene is building something that probably no one can see. But as you're raising your hands, as you're worshiping him, you're building a memorial unto him. That's why we gather every Sunday, is to celebrate how good our God is, to tell how good his unfailing love is, to praise the Lord for all he has done, and to rejoice in his great goodness. Every time when we take communion, it's a memorial unto what God has done for us. It's an act of remembrance. Jesus himself said this, do this communion in remembrance of me. Right? Even Jesus is using those words, do this in remembrance of me. God does not want you to forget. As you're taking communion, you're not just going through the motion. It's beyond that. It's much deeper than that. You're building, you're establishing a memorial unto God. That's what you're doing. You're recognizing the eternal life, the price that was paid for the eternal life that you now have. That's a memorial. Baptism. Through baptism, you are celebrating, you're declaring publicly what God has done on the inside of you. You're declaring to the whole entire world, you're telling the whole entire world how good your God is. You're celebrating life through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection. That's what you're doing through baptism. That's another stone of a memorial. As we wrap this up, I'm going to read further along. Probably a passage that we tend to maybe even forget. In chapter 4, verse 9. God asks Joshua to do something unusual. And you say, Pastor, the whole thing is unusual. But here it's something a little bit different that caught my attention when I was reading it. In Joshua 4:9, it says, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day. I want you to get this picture. The whole nation has gone through. The priests are still in the middle of the river. Everybody's gone through, including Joshua. But God spoke to Joshua, go back. Go back. Go back in the middle of the river. And pick up 12 stones. You say, that was one memorial done already. It's on dry land. It's on the other side. What's up with this, God? Why should I go back in the middle? In the middle of the river. And stack up 12 stones. Stack them up as a memorial. Right in the middle of the riverbed. I don't know about you, but I think this is pretty weird. I mean, this is pretty weird. Because why? I mean, the river will eventually flow back in. It will return back to normal. And it will cover the memorial. Not to be seen by anyone. How odd is that? God wants you to build something as a memorial in the middle of this river that you just passed through. But eventually the water is going to come back and cover this memorial, not to be seen by anybody else. Is that true? Not anybody else. Who else would know about those memorials? Right in the middle of the river. I believe God will. I think this was a personal memorial between Joshua and God. It was meant to be just for Joshua and God. In his natural mind, he's probably wrestling with his thought, like I would, like probably you would. We've already made it to the other side. Why go back in the middle? Why build a memorial in the middle of the water where no one else would see? No one else would remember that it was there. But the word says that it's still there to this day. Has anybody gone out there and drained that water again to check whether or not that memorial is still standing? Probably not. But I'm like you. I'm a man of faith. I believe the stones are still there because the word says so. It's still there forever, it says. Here's my take on it. I don't know if you do this when you read scripture, you try to see what could God be doing. You put yourself in the place of the characters of this story and you try to figure out what could be going on in the mind of Joshua when God said to do this. I mean, he's a man of war. He's a man of action. God is telling him to do something that is contradicting to anything that he's been trained on. They didn't cover this in basic training. They didn't cover this in basic training. God said, go back and build this stone. This memorial was a statement of faith. It is God. Said, this is what I believe my God is able to do for me. It was a personal thing. Not to be seen by the whole nation of Israel, but only for him. I believe when he was stacking up those 12 stones, he was whispering to himself the promises that God gave him in chapter 1. In chapter 1, God spoke to Joshua and gave him some promises. It says, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. I believe when he was stacking up those stones, he was remembering God's promises for him. You also have collected a lot of stones along your journey. those stones that you are stacking up as a memorial might not be seen or recognized by anybody else but you and him. And that's good enough. That's good enough. That's where we find our peace. That's where we find our position of faith. It's that solid ground where nobody else needs to know what is going on behind the scenes. Because some of those promises was meant to be just between you and him. Just between you and him. Would you please stand? God sees it. God sees those stones. God doesn't want you to quit when you're facing a battle. God wants you, don't want you to quit as you're crossing over a river. Sometimes God might ask you to go back in the middle to pick up something, and that something might be a lesson that he wanted to teach you right there in the middle of that storm, right there in the middle of that difficult situation. Don't walk away from it. Don't walk away from an opportunity to be taught by the living God. Don't walk away from an opportunity to be taught by the Holy Spirit. The best we can do is to open up to him and say, Lord, here I am. Teach me. Show me. I'm a student. I'm a servant. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you want me to do in this situation. I want you to teach me how to handle a difficult person. Some of you might have a challenging or have had a challenging week in a relationship, in a situation, that today you're asking yourself, how do I fix it while I honor you? Sometimes you got to go back to the middle of that place, of that situation, of that difficult situation. You go back and you ask God, what is the lesson? What do you want to teach me? I want to be obedient. I want to learn from you. I want to be a student. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, on this, as we celebrating and recognizing you on this Memorial Day. Lord, help us to always remember how good you are, how gracious and kind you are. Come, Holy Spirit, quicken our spirit. Give us life and life to the fullest, so that we may follow you all the days of our lives. Help us train this next generation as if it all depends on us. Give us the grace, the ability, and the desire to serve and to train this next generation. Help us not to walk away from an opportunity to do this, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you all. Happy Memorial Day. Go and greet a serviceman or woman, somebody who serve. Recognize them. God bless you all who are watching us online. And we'll catch up again next Sunday. God bless you. And bonne fête des mères.